you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. I want to talk this morning about faith. Faith is a very basic, fundamental aspect of our relationship with God. We've been focusing a lot upon what God has for us and what God has done for us this week. And I guess this morning we're thinking about our response, and our most basic response to God is faith. It's a common prayer, isn't it, that the apostles pray here? Lord, increase our faith. We want to have more faith. One of the most extraordinary stories of faith which I'm inspired by is a guy by the name of Rhys Howes, who lived 100 or so years ago. His biography is in a book called The Intercessor. And God just used him in amazing ways back in the Welsh Revival, with stories of drunkards being healed and revival and tremendous answers to prayer, even influencing of world events. On one occasion, God revealed to Rhys Howes that his bedridden dying uncle would be healed and would walk 3 miles to church. In 4.5 months' time at 5 a.m. in the morning. That's quite a remarkable claim to make. It's lovely to say that God has answered prayer in retrospect and healed someone in retrospect, but to predict it on a certain day at 5 a.m. in the morning. 4.5 months later, the night before, his bedridden dying uncle is still bedridden and he's still dying. No change yet. 5 a.m. in the morning, he's up. He's walking to church the first time in 20 years, 3 miles and back, as a result of this man's faith. Another occasion, God led him to go on a certain journey, but he had no money. He went and he stood in the queue to buy his train ticket. Still had no money, but God had told him to go. The queue was getting shorter, but his faith held firm. And then at the last minute, the man in front of him, for some reason, turned around and gave him the money which he required. What do we say when we hear stories like that? We say, Lord, increase my faith. Lord, I wish I had faith like that. I wish I had a relationship with you which was as vibrant and as real as that. And I guess that's probably what a lot of us are responding to the studies with this week. Lord, increase my faith. Alan's been talking this week about heaven and how we need to appreciate the glory that is yet to come, that will be ours. What do we say? We say, Lord, increase my faith. Make it real to me. I remember a sick old man who used to come to our church whenever he could. He was dying, but whenever he could, he'd get some nurses from the nursing home to wheel him to our church. And I remember several occasions, you'd go up to this old man and you'd put on your sympathetic tone of voice as you could, try to be as pastorally sensitive as you could, to go up and shake his hand and say, how are you today, Mr. So-and-so? And this old man, he would crane his neck up with you, and with his little grin, he would say with a surprisingly loud voice, praising the Lord, brother, looking forward to glory. Every time, and you take a step back, he was looking forward to heaven. What do we say when we confront people like that? Say, Lord, increase my faith. Lord, make it that real to me. Increase my faith. Faith is what it's all about. Tom's been reminding us about the great summaries of our faith, the great summaries of the Christian faith. These little phrases, these little groups of verses which are all over the New Testament, which sum up in such succinct, such beautiful, such poetic language. It's almost like songs. And as he was saying last night, some of them are probably early Christian songs. And they just sort of capture the beauty, the glory of our salvation. And so we have words like this, the grace of God, remember Titus, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, to live godly lives in the present age, waiting for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Saviour. Or last night it was, Christ, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created, and on it goes. And I think to myself, what wonderful words, what beautiful words. But Lord, increase my faith so that they might become more than just words. They might be more than just something which I'm theoretically supposed to be happy about. And they might become something which I really am filled with joy in my very soul about. Lord, make this real to me. Increase my faith. Faith is our most basic response to God. Faith is how we connect with the living God in heaven. It's faith which Adam and Eve went wrong on, in that Satan tempted Eve to doubt the word of God, and Eve failed to believe. And when Satan said, has God really said? It was faith which Abraham, the father of faith, was known for, when God promised him he would have a son and through his seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. It was faith which led him at the end of his life to be willing to sacrifice his own son, believing that God was able to raise him from the dead. Think about Joshua and Caleb. Out of all the generation of the Israelites, they were the only two that went into the land. Why? Because they had faith. Nobody else had faith. The rest went back. The rest wanted to go back to Egypt. When you come to the Gospels, it's faith, 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 faith. A centurion comes to see Jesus about a sick servant. Jesus marvels at his faith and heals the servant. Four men bring their lame friend to Jesus. Jesus looks at the four men and sees their faith and heals them. Two blind men come to Jesus, crying out to him to heal them. What does Jesus say? Do you believe that I'm able to do this? They say, yes, Lord, we believe. Jesus gives teaching on prayer. He says, whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Faith is our most basic response to God. How do we become Christians? By believing. Faith, it all starts with believing, and it all continues with believing. Faith comes before worship. Sometimes you don't feel very worshipful. But faith pushes past feelings and worships anyway. Sometimes you don't feel like praying. But faith pushes past feelings and prays anyway. Sometimes we say, I don't feel like believing. But faith pushes past feelings and believes anyway. Faith is our most basic response to God. It all starts with faith. Faith is like the power cord. Got a data projector here. It works beautifully. Nothing wrong with it. But unless that PowerPoint is plugged into the wall, the data projector is as dead as a doornail. And our relationship with God has got nothing if we are not plugged into God. And that being plugged into God is our responding to him in faith. Faith is the link between us and God. And so this might well be our prayer for a new year, mightn't it? Increase my faith. I want to have a living, vibrant relationship with God. So increase my faith in God. Make my faith stronger in heaven. Make my faith in the truths of the gospel more real, so that I might rejoice in them more. Come and give me today a great big zap of faith. And make it really come alive for me, rather than continuing in a fairly slightly disappointing experience, in which usually I don't grasp the glories of heaven, and usually my heart really isn't filled with joy at the truths of the gospel. Lord, please increase my faith. But look at what the Lord says in response in verse 6. The Lord's always saying rather surprising things. He doesn't say what you'd expect, perhaps. Because it sounds like a good prayer, doesn't it? Lord, increase my faith. But the Lord's response in verse 6 actually implies that maybe it isn't such a good prayer after all. What's he saying? If you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. He's saying, you want more faith? All you need is a little. You've got all you need. If you had faith as a mustard seed, something which is very, very small, you can pull up a tree and cast it into the sea. In Matthew's gospel, we're told that faith can move mountains. I've always thought that would be quite helpful when you're going on a bushwalk. Bushwalks are pleasant, but unlike Alan, I don't really enjoy the sweat and the pain. So I've always thought it would just be great to be able to just move the mountain out of the way and walk on by, and of course leave nature as you found it, and replace it so we don't mess up everybody's maps. And wouldn't that be wonderful? That's how powerful a tiny bit of faith, Jesus says, is. The problem is that we do not have enough faith. The problem is that simply we don't use the faith that we already have. We don't need more faith. At least that's not what we don't have. That's not what we need to concentrate on. What we need to concentrate on is exercising the faith that we have now. Abraham is the great father of faith, but he didn't start off with much faith. Genesis 15, God comes, he promises him, I'm going to give you, your family will be as large as the numbers of the stars in the sky. And it says, Abraham believed in the Lord and he accounted it to him for righteousness. There you go, he's got faith. But then the very next verse, do you know what Abraham says? He says, Lord, how shall I know I shall inherit this land? Doesn't sound like faith to me. How will I know that your promises are going to come about? He believed, but then he's questioning immediately. Abraham's faith started small and it wavered a lot. Remember the story of the man who met Jesus when Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration. His son is possessed by a demon. He brought his son to the man and to the disciples, and the disciples couldn't help. So Jesus comes, the man says, your disciples, they were helpless, they were hopeless, they couldn't do anything. But if you can do anything, please help me. And Jesus says, all things are possible to him who believes. And the man replies, and it says he's got tears rolling down his face. And he says, Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, I believe, but please help my unbelief. He's wrestling with unbelief. Many years had gone by. His son has been afflicted for so long and nobody's been able to help. Jesus' disciples have failed. Can it really be true that you're going to make any difference? But he just cries out, he grasps the tiniest bit of faith that he has, and with all of his might he just exercises that little bit. And Jesus works in his life an amazing miracle. See, what we need to do is we need to step out in faith with the tiny amount of faith that we can muster. But so often we don't do that. We just let that small amount of faith that we have, we let it lie dormant. And we let it grow inactive and cold, and it withers away. For our faith to grow, we need to act on it. Faith without works is dead. Faith always responds with actions. Just like fire needs oxygen to grow, our faith needs to respond in action in order to grow. We need to respond in practical obedience and let that flicker of faith grow to become something bigger. Alan was mentioning earlier to me in the week what he found really helpful when he goes to camps. And I think he sort of alluded to in one of his messages as well, is to make a list of specific things that you're going to do when you get home as a result of coming to camp. To write down 5 things. I'm going to go home and I'm going to read this book. I'm going to talk to this person. I'm going to plan this program for my life. Because it's so easy. You come and you hear all the messages at camp. But unless you make a specific plan, you go away saying, well, I've had a lovely week and isn't it great to be a Christian and that singing was fantastic and my feelings are very buoyant and I'm going to try to be a better Christian this year. And that's what your response is. But it's just a general prayer. It's a little bit like, Lord, increase our faith. What we need to do, like Alan suggests, is make a plan of what we need to do now to respond in faith to what God is asking us to do. It might be, I'm going to read that book the preacher mentioned. I'm going to write a letter to that person who I've fallen out with. I'm going to ask them for forgiveness and reconciliation. I'm going to get in touch with my friend or an elder in my church. I'm going to ask them to be my spiritual mentor because I know I need help to grow in these issues in my life which I'm struggling with. I'm going to go and see a counsellor because I need professional help in some issue of my life. And I'm going to get that sorted out. See what that's doing? God's spoken to you this week and it's saying, this is what I'm going to do. Faith must respond for it to be able to grow. Faith must be acted on. Even if that is only the tiniest amount of faith, it can result in tremendous things. Very often, though, what happens, our faith is snuffed out before we can act on it. One of the most powerful sermons I've ever listened to, you know, those sermons you get, which probably only get a few in a lifetime, which just stick. It really hits you and they make a big point. One of them was for me was this Baptist preacher who was preaching at a Christian teachers convention a few years ago. And he said, there's 2 things which again and again and again and again defeat us when we know what we should do, but they come and they destroy our faith. They're faith killers. What are the 2 problems? Number 1 is fear, and number 2 is laziness. Fear and laziness. They're 2 of the biggest faith killers going around. And they beat us again and again and again. You see, why don't we exercise our faith? Well, first of all, because we're lazy. We never get around to it. We mean to read that book which someone recommends to us, but somehow it just doesn't happen. I mean, Alan was mentioning you want to set your mind on the glories of heaven. Well, why don't you go and read a book by, I think he said, Randy Alcorn on heaven? Or why don't you read the verses, go through and read the verses in the scriptures on heaven and memorize them? And laziness says, yeah, I'll do that sometime. In the second half of the year, I think, is probably more realistic. That's laziness. We mean to find a new Bible reading plan, but somehow the year sort of just slips away on us and we just sort of get left behind. We mean to put up a Christian poster at our workplace, but oh, we forget to pick it up or we forget to take it to work, and just sorting out the little details seems just a little bit too hard to get together. Yeah, I'm a bit of an ideas person in that I love playing around with different ways of doing things and saying, well, why don't we try doing this way? Why don't we try doing this way? The last 5 years, at the beginning, I think 4 or 5 years anyway, at the beginning of each year, I decide my Bible reading plan isn't good enough. I'm not happy with it. I'm going to do it all over again. And it takes me about many hours, because 365 days, you know how many chapters there are in the Bible, to reorganize it. Because I just, you know, I like to try new things. But, you know, this is something which I struggle with. I have these new ideas, and I pray and say, oh, that would be a good way to express my faith, or this is a good way to teach people at church. I have these ideas, and I get really excited with different ideas. But again and again and again, my failing is that these ideas just stay up there in the head. And you get excited, and who knows, it might be the spark of the Holy Spirit saying, giving you a vision, saying, let's go and do this, but it's the practical reorganization of your life to allow those ideas to come into reality. I struggle with laziness. And secondly, fear gets us. Because God calls on us and challenges us about something, but we worry what the family will say if we start doing something different, if we start reorganizing our life. We fear we'll look silly. God calls on us to repair our broken relationships, but when it comes time to make that phone call and to speak to that person or write that letter, we're afraid. We're afraid of what it's going to bring up. We're afraid of how they'll respond. We're afraid it might not go well. Just prefer to let things go on and be safe. And so we procrastinate and do nothing. We know we need a mentor. We know we need help. Someone to pray with about our problems regularly. Someone who's going to teach us how to live as a Christian. But, well, how am I going to ask them? And what are they going to think? Is it going to look a bit silly? Is it going to look a bit weird? Or maybe, is this going to open up for me issues in my life which I'd prefer remain hidden underneath the surface if I have to start being honest with someone else? And fear has killed off the action of faith. Fear and laziness, again and again and again, they win the battle, not faith. Remember that woman in the Gospels who comes to Jesus. She's been suffering from that flow of blood for 12 years. She was scared. So scared. She would have been considered unclean. And there were crowds of people around. She doesn't want to be exposed. And it wouldn't have been easy. Push, push, push through the crowds. I've got to get to Jesus. But she made it her business. She was going to be there when Jesus passed by. And with her tiny little bit of faith, she crept up to Jesus in all her timidness. She reaches out, hoping no one's going to see her. She touches Jesus' clothes. Just the tiniest, minimal amount of faith. Yet she reached out. She acted, and she was blessed. Well, can I encourage you to do that exercise? to make a list of maybe just two things. What two things has God been speaking to you about this week that you're going to go home and do differently, that God wants you to be acting on? Make that list. And don't let fear and laziness win the day. Go and make the list as you're finished here. And don't worry what people think if you're sitting on your own writing down what you're going to do. And go and find that pen, even though pens are difficult to come by in your bags at this time of the week at the end of a camp. Find a piece of paper. Don't let laziness win the day. Put into action the faith that you have and respond to the revelation that God has given you. It's a good New Year's prayer, isn't it? That, Lord, increase my faith. Well, maybe. But more to the point, Lord, help me to activate my faith right now, because I know what I need to do. But just help me to do it. And may that faith grow and do wonderful things under the blessing of God. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your Son, the eternal glory his life, his death and resurrection has won for us. Please help us to respond to your word in faith, not in fear and not in laziness. Lord, cause this new year to be a year of faith, acting in obedience and bringing spiritual growth and blessing and joy and peace. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.